is David Rovics, and you are tuned to 3CR, 8:55 a.m., Melbourne, Australia. Step three is finding there's a tactic when everyone believes it could be true. That if all the people work collectively, there just might be something we can do, and everything can change.
Welcome to the Climate Action Radio Show, which can be heard on community radio at 3CR in Melbourne and Skid Row in Sydney. My name is Vivian Langford, and salut Babette. We'd like to pay our respects to elders past and present and pay tribute to the decades-long legacy of Aboriginal fights for land rights and against the destructive mining projects that are fueling climate change. In particular, we acknowledge the Wangan and Jagalingu cultural custodians and their ongoing opposition to coal mining on their lands in central Queensland, and to the Gomeroi traditional custodians' continuing opposition to coal and gas on their land in New South Wales. It is vital at this late stage in history that we all learn to care for country. It will always be Aboriginal land, and now is our time to all stand up for and protect it.
Forests are the lungs of the world. Without them, climate security is impossible. That's the headline. The United Nations says deforestation makes up around 21% of global greenhouse gas emissions, and we pledged globally to stop net deforestation by 2030. Glenn Walker from Greenpeace Australia Pacific said in February that Australia has one of the worst rates of deforestation in the world. Did you know that? Among the worst in the world. And that the Albanese Labor government promised to end the extinction crisis and deliver strong new nature laws, but he's, quote, caved in. Glenn Walker says he's caved in to big fossil fuel and mining executives against environmental protection, and it's in the interests of profit. Now we've voted in a new government, and I want to see them all cave in to the big community interests, that's us, the silent majority, who think they are alone when they are upset to see more forests felled for expanded beef production or for mining, or worse, who think they can't do anything. If they would get together, that majority, the government would cave in. They would accept that, like Victoria and like Western Australia, like New Zealand, we don't need to do native forest logging. Well, this episode of Climate Action Show reports on the people who understand that one way to reduce the heat in the greenhouse is to restore forests. There are plenty of jobs in that, but more importantly, the trees will suck in the carbon and hold it. Here are some people taking action. Just before Anzac Day, up at Coffs Harbour, 8 women occupied the Forestry Corporation building. They took it over. 5 of them climbed up a ladder up onto the roof with a big banner saying, "End native forest logging now." One of the women is a filmmaker, Julie Lamont, and she was reported in the Byron Shire Echo saying, "We are on the brink of a climate catastrophe. We've all experienced it with recent floods and cyclones edging further south." Their local member, Sue Higginson, said,
"It's time. End native forest logging. People have had enough. People are taking serious action because the environmental injustice that is native forest logging has just got too much, and it's gone on for too long. All logging right now across the New South Wales public forest estate is extinction logging, and it's got to stop."
One of the forest protectors, who incidentally was wearing a Save Palestine shirt, said,
"So we're occupying the Forestry Corporation's headquarters in Coffs Harbour on Gumbangia land. We are telling this company, who is a rogue criminal company, who destroy habitat trees, who are taxpayer funded and work at an absolute loss, that like WA and like Victoria, they need to stop native forest logging and they need to do it now."
And another of the forest protectors, registered nurse Daisy Nutty, said, "Forest Corporation runs at a loss. So the community purse is paying them to push endangered wildlife like koalas and greater gliders to extinction. And just in case you are like me and you've never seen a greater glider, here's one of our most highly respected scientists who's written 50 books, and the latest one is The Forest Wars. It's David Lindenmeyer.
Yeah, the greater glider really is an Australian iconic animal. It's the world's largest gliding marsupial. It's about 1.3 kilos in size, and it comes in a whole range of colours from jet black with a white understory, underbelly, right through to pure white, again with a white underbelly. So there's a whole range of colours. The animal, unlike the koala, is almost completely silent in the forest, but like the koala, it only eats eucalypt leaves and only certain kinds of eucalypts. So the species is very strongly related to, in its distribution and abundance, to the productivity of the forest. But also, very importantly, it's very, very sensitive to different kinds of disturbances. It's temperature sensitive, so it responds very badly to changes in climate. It's logging sensitive, doesn't like having its nest trees cut down. It doesn't like changes to the microclimate of the forest when the forest is cut. It's sensitive to land clearing. It's sensitive to fire. And because of all those sensitivities, logging, fire, climate change, land clearing, it's actually a really good sentinel species to tell us about the conditions in the local environment.
Later in the show, we'll have a surprise item about green music from my new colleague, Bella Jessen. But now, come with me to the Protect Our Forests March in March in Sydney. Imagine gentle rain throughout the event, even when people are dancing. Some are dressed up as possums or owls. Many have posters begging for a reprieve from the death sentence that logging is.
We look to the north, it's the Hawkesbury. To the south is the Georges. To the west is Nepean. On behalf of Metropolitan Local Aboriginal Land Council, we welcome everyone here on behalf of our elders and our members. We need to protect all the animals and obviously the animals' homes of the forest. I'm seeing some great costumes here just in front of me, and it's raising awareness how is so important. All those wonderful animals, because they're all part of who we are. They all play very, very important parts. You know, they spread seeds around for regeneration, everything. Always was, always the Aboriginal land never ceded. Thanks.
Wonderful folks at the Bob Brown Foundation, that nearly 20,000 people have joined these events so far nationwide. Give it up for that. As campaign manager Jenny Weber said yesterday, we've marched, we've rallied, we've built unstoppable momentum ahead of the federal election, and now it is time for our final resounding call to all candidates in the election to protect our native forests. I'd love to welcome to the stage Andrew Wong, Operations Manager for Wilderness Australia. I'll leave it to you to say, but you've been doing this for 3 decades, right? You're going to talk to us about native wildlife habitat and the wonder that is the greater glider, maybe. Yeah. Excellent.
Thank you. Well, we live in scary times, and it feels like a lot of things are going wrong. A hotter world means that species with very specific requirements just can't cope very well anymore. Greater gliders are sometimes called the gliding koala, because they live in eucalyptus trees and they eat eucalyptus leaves, but they glide between trees. And when it gets hotter, they can't eat enough food, and so they start starving. And then they stop breeding, and then they start disappearing from whole swathes of the landscape. In the last 20 years, that's 3 generations of the species, their global numbers have halved. That's as hard a crash as any species can go through, and they're still declining. Because of this, they were listed as nationally endangered 3 years ago. That listing should have triggered a whole raft of emergency action to try and rescue it from decline. So what happened? Nothing happened. No action was taken at the national level. No action was taken at the state level. The only thing that happened was they kept logging its habitat. Since they were listed as endangered, thousands of hectares of the most critical greater glider habitat has been destroyed. The same thing is happening to koalas, or non-gliding greater gliders, as we like to call them. Their numbers have halved in the last 20 years. They're listed as endangered, and their habitat is being logged, thousands of hectares of it. These species are going extinct right in front of our eyes. And the question is, where is the New South Wales Environment Minister, Penny Sharp? She's missing in action. Federal environment laws are designed to stop species from going extinct. If they were applied in New South Wales, they could stop all this logging overnight. But New South Wales logging is exempt from federal environment laws. That could be changed at the stroke of a pen, but it hasn't been. So the question is, where is our federal environment minister, Tanya Plibersek? She's missing in action. In fact, there are 150 threatened species that are threatened with extinction whose habitat is being logged in New South Wales right now. And it's hard to fathom why our environment ministers are missing in action. I mean, why is it? Is it that the solution is just too big and too difficult and too complex? Well, actually, it's very simple. Just stop logging their habitat. Don't kill endangered species. It's not the politics that's holding them back, because nobody hates koala. It's not the size of the logging industry that's holding them back. The number of people employed in the New South Wales logging industry is about the same as in a single large hospital. It's hard to fathom why our environment ministers are missing. Where is the leadership on the environment? And I have a theory about that. And the theory is this: you can't make anything happen in government without having a fight. You just have to engage in conflict with other ministers, with premiers, with the prime minister. You have to have courage and you have to be prepared to fight for nature. And yet every time a chance comes up to do something for nature, Penny Sharp withdraws and Tanya Plibersek withdraws, and they sit on the sidelines and watch passively while nature continues to decline. In desperation, the community has been stepping up to fill this leadership void. The community has been going to the forest to find greater glider den trees under logging rules. It's the only way we know to stop logging of their habitat. It involves bush bashing through some of the most impenetrable, the steepest, the most remote forests you've seen. You have to do it at night in the dark with only a spotlight to guide you. You mostly have to do it alone. And while the community is doing that, night after night, in the dark, alone, Penny Sharp is asleep in bed, and so is every person who works for her. The community are going into the forest and blockading, locking on to machines. They're getting arrested, and while they're doing that, Tanya Plibersek is sitting in the comfort of her office. We need leadership in our forests, and those leaders seem to be missing. It seems to be because they lack the courage to fight. The only way we're going to stop the collapse of nature is by having a fight. So Penny Sharp, step up, be brave. Greater gliders and koalas need you to fight for them. Tanya Plibersek, step up, be brave. We need you to fight for us. Where are the leaders? Where are the brave? Who's willing to have a fight? Well, it turns out there is such a group, and that group is us. We'll stand behind our political leaders and we'll push them forwards. And it'll be hard work, and when it gets tough, we'll keep going. When it feels it's most hopeless, we won't give up. And the only way that nature is going to be saved is if you save it. When you feel at your most terrified for the future, just remember, be brave, the world needs you. Thank you.
When you compare an old growth forest compared to a forest which is regrowing after a disturbance like logging, they're actually quite different ecosystems. generally, like older, wetter forests slow down the path of fire, and this is actually quite a well-known phenomenon. Historically, these big, large fires have been quite rare, but what we've seen in the last 20 years is they're becoming quite a lot more common. So we've had 3 in the last 20 years. This is definitely because of climate change, which is making our ecosystems a lot drier and the fire weather more intense.
We need to keep radical voices on air. Subscribe now.
Go to 3cr.org.au/subscribe or call the station on 9419 8377.
Gadigal Origin, Gunderman. This is Stephen Pigram from up Broomway, Yawuru Country. And it's great to be down in Melbourne, and you're listening to 3CR Community Radio. Been here for a long time. Where I belong.
You're listening to the Climate Action Show at the Protect Our Forest Rally. And here is veteran forest campaigner Susie Russell.
Thank you very much, and I acknowledge that we are on Aboriginal land that has never been ceded. So I want to talk to you about a forest, a state forest. What a state forest means is that it's notionally public land. It's owned by the people of New South Wales. It's meant to be managed for the good of people of New South Wales. And those forests that are public land are called state forests. Now, I could tell you about the state forest, Clouds Creek State Forest, where for more than 300 days over the last year and a bit, the community has got up every morning at 4 o'clock to stand on the road to block the entrance to logging trucks. I could tell you about Pine Creek State Forest, where the community there has been fighting for 30 years to stop the logging of some incredible habitat, and they too have recently had to get up and stand on the road every morning to try and stop the logging trucks that are due any day. So many stories, so many forests, but I'm going to tell you the story of the Bulga State Forest, which is the one near where I live. So in 1992, when I first visited the Bulga State Forest, the trees were so big it took 4 or 5 people to put their arms around. Old growth logging. I couldn't believe that old growth trees like that were being logged. And so along with other people, I engaged in protests. More than 100 people were arrested in those days, back in 1993, including me on the top of the forestry building doing street theatre. But we lost. We lost in the sense that the old growth logging continued under police protection until the Carr government was elected in 1995 and promised that it was going to save some of the old growth forests. But those days, the logging happened by fellas with a chainsaw and a truck and chains, and they would pull, chop the tree down, cut the branches off, get the log hauled up into the log dump. And since then, the technology has changed. Now there are these huge machines that grab the tree, cut the tree, take the branches off the tree, carry the tree away. It's all done by someone in the cab of a machine. Nobody gets out and steps on the ground. It's all done by technology. There are more jobs that have been lost by the introduction of that technology than currently exist in the industry. So when the industry says, oh no, we're going to lose jobs if we protect forests, well, they didn't mind shedding jobs when they were introducing new technology to increase their profits. But in the Bulga Forest, after the fires, our community went out and tried to find evidence of koalas. And we found some, and we were really excited. And we went spotlighting in the evening, and guess what? We found greater gliders too, because the Bulga Forest didn't burn very badly. And we found all these greater gliders and we thought, wow, you know, if we can find their den trees, we could get a small area around them protected. And that's like a real protection. Not enough for the glider, not enough for a home range, but something. So night after night, people went out looking for greater glider dens. And we found about 25, and we were so excited. And we thought, oh, forestry won't log. You know we've got at least 25 greater glider den trees in there. But of course, they did. They brought in, you know, they brought in a gate and put it across the road. And for those of us who had looked and tried so hard and so many ways to protect those gliders, we felt there was nothing else we could do but to try and stop the logging. And so day after day, October, November, December, on about 15 occasions, some of them are here today, and including myself, we attached ourselves to the logging machinery so it couldn't work that day. It's a scary thing to do, but nonetheless, it is a way of trying to slow the logging, and it's an act of desperation. What more can we do? We got almost no media attention. 25 are almost no media attention. And so what I want to say to you is that you people here who mostly live in the Sydney area, you have such an important role to play in saving our forests. Out there on the front line, we're in National Party seats. They don't care about the forests. They're extractivists. Dig it up, chop it down, whatever. That's their business. But in the city, you have political power. Going to see your MP, Labor, Liberal, Independent, and saying, I care about the forests. I want you to do something about it. That has power. Because we are going to push the government to make decisions about forests, and having MPs knowing that people in their electorates have written to them, rung them up, come to see them, attended rallies, all builds the message that helps them to say, actually, I know this is the right thing to do and I'm going to support those kind of changes. So please, stay active. Thank you for coming today. Keep doing it, spread the word, because this is now an existential crisis for our forests. And if we can't stop the logging in the next year or two, some of those habitats will be irreparably destroyed and animals like the greater glider will become extinct. So thank you for caring.
All the polls show that 4 out of 5 Australians, including Labor voters, want these magnificent trees, these priceless trees, protected. But you can hear the chainsaws in the background. This magnificent living Australian is about to go, and we've got to stop it.
Authorised by Stephen Chaffer, Bob Brown Foundation, Hobart.
We're talking about ecological thinning and subsidised logging, but we basically mean the same things, don't we, here?
Wherever there are chemical corporations around the world, they're constantly trying to chip away at regulations.
Earth Matters, bringing you environmental and social justice stories, from developments in government and industry to the campaigns and communities that are standing up to them. Earth Matters plays at 11 a.m. Sunday and 6:30 a.m. Wednesday. Turn your dial to 855 a.m. or listen online at 3cr.org.au.
While the headlines have subsided, the nuclear power plant is still not under control, with the spent fuel rods removed from only 1 out of 4 reactors.
Law needs to change so that our rights can be recognised, so that decisions in relation to the use and exploitation of our lands is out.
This singer is called Coco.
So before I get into the music, I want to give you a quick poem. It's a Mother Nature poem. I think we're all here because we understand that we have a symbiotic relationship with nature and we're all here for action. So I'm going to give you the poem, then a little bit of music to get the blood flowing, get you going and ready to march. Mother Nature. Mother Nature is the source and guiding force of creation. Mother Nature is constantly seeking out our communication. Whether we are open to receive it or not, Mother Nature is all we got. The original nurturer, Mother Nature, we must be in service to her. As human beings, we've been appointed guardians of the garden, but unfortunately, many of our hearts have hardened. Desensitized to the genocide of this earth, Mother Nature screams in hurt. My feet on the dirt, as Mother Nature balances out my chakras, I'm grateful and thankful for this connection and apologetic on behalf of my species for the natural disasters. In harmony and in tune with the earth, sun, and moon, listening to the black cockatoos, watching the eastern gray kangaroos, in admiration and appreciation for this truly divine creation, we cannot sit down and watch this earth be taken by greed, gluttony, and ego. Let's replace the G in ego with a C so we can see it's eco. Eco over ego. Where she go, we go. The great mother, the conductor, the instructor. Her path is our path. Fates intertwined. It's divine. I have proof. Here is an anagram. I hope you understand, overstand, but most importantly, innerstand. We have the word earth, E-A-R-T-H. With a slight rearrangement, we take the last letter H, move it to the beginning of the word before the E. Now we have the word heart, H-E-A-R-T. I'll let that breathe for a moment. This is no coincidence. All that have a heart beating have a responsibility to this earth. We are the earth. Everything in the universe is fractal. This is factual. This is actual. In actuality, this is reality. This anagram has to be divinely orchestrated and proof that we have a responsibility, a sensibility, an ability to honor, respect, and protect Mother Nature.
Alrighty, let's get into some music. Stand up if you're feeling it. Feel free to dance, feel free to get it started. I want bouncy, I want some energy.
Fight but flow, the light always glow. We illuminated, this life we've never traded. Elevated, motivated, hungry. I feel the rumbling in my tummy. All starts from the gut, they wanna shut. Our divinity, our magical abilities. We're spiritual beings, they program us to be machines. Got us stuck in routines, distracted. Now we've adapted, we think society is normal. It's a rapid de-evolution, we polluting. What's the solution? Indigenous ways, the only way to better days. Honor nature, the source, no more can we pollute her pores. The universe open doors, I never close them, I walk through arms. Awareness is the key, I set your mind free. Hands up, bounce, real to believe the truth. This for all my youth, yeah, Steven, shout out to Steven, yeah. Awareness is the key, now set your mind free. Let yourself see what is real to believe the truth. This for all my youth, shout out to Spencer, yeah. I am the truth. Awareness is the key, now set your mind free. Let yourself see what is real to believe the truth. This for all my youth, there ain't no ceiling, no roof. And that's the truth. How we feeling? Yeah, let's get that energy. Shout out to Spencer, man. That's for the youth. That's for all the youth here. Don't underestimate your power. Step into your greatness. Alrighty. Yeah. Let's have some fun.
Do you need the brolly?
No, I'm all good. Hi, everyone. And could we give it up for Coco one more time?
Now here is Greens Senator Meereen Farooqi.
It is such a privilege to be here with you. Thank you for marching for our forests, come rain, hail, or shine. I acknowledge the sovereign owners of the lands we gathered on, the Gadigal people, and pay my respects to elders past and present. We are on stolen, unceded land. Sovereignty was never ceded. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. And I do also want to acknowledge that there can be no social, environmental, or racial justice without First Nations justice. First Nations voices, their knowledge, their wisdom, their struggle must be front and center of our movement to end native forest logging once and for all. Because we have a responsibility. We all have a responsibility to protect nature. Our governments have a responsibility to protect nature. But sadly and shamefully, both the federal governments and the New South Wales government have completely and utterly failed their responsibility to nature, to our environment, to climate. Because they have allowed reckless and rampant logging of our native forests, driving our species to extinction and bringing us to a climate crisis. You know, from powerful owls right in our backyard to koalas to greater gliders and more, every animal is at risk now. And right now, maybe not many of you know this, but right now, Albanese's Labour is doing a deal with the Dutton Liberals that will trash our environmental laws and push ancient marine life like the Mogollon skate into extinction. This is happening right now. They're planning on bringing legislation to Parliament next week as we head back to Canberra. And for what? For what? To protect the profits of the corporate salmon farming industry. It is all about money all the time. And in New South Wales, the Minns government is so far from protecting nature and our forests that they have continued logging in areas that could be included in the Greater National Koala Park. They have accelerated that logging. That is absolutely shameful. You know, these governments, whether Labour or Liberal, cannot be trusted with our environment. That's the truth of the situation. Because both the Minns and the Albanese government do not want to stop the destruction of forests or fix broken environmental laws. But we do, you all do. They really don't have the guts to stand up to the logging industry or big coal and gas or indeed the salmon farming industry. But you do, we all do. And it's always people power that wins in the end. Let's never forget that. People power, your power. And can I tell you once again that the Greens will never ever back down from the strongest protection for our native forests, for our environment, for our climate, and for our oceans. Never ever. Because we know that our magnificent forests should be a sanctuary for wildlife, not a sacrifice for the industry. Logging native forests is not just unsustainable, it is uneconomical, and it is completely untenable. That's the bottom line. It is untenable, and we won't stand for it. My love for nature started when I was very young, amongst the Himalayan mountains, amongst the magnificent glaciers and the old pine forests. And with the climate crisis, those glaciers are melting and those pine forests are having the same fate as the native forests here in our country. So I will not stop until native forest logging stops. The Greens and I will not stop until we get the strongest action on climate. We know, look at all of you here, and thousands, tens of thousands of others who've joined us around the country. We know the momentum is there. We know it's no longer a question of if, but when. And we want that when to be right now. And if our governments don't do it, then we will force them to do it. We will drag them to the table, kicking and screaming. Earlier, people were talking about voting and the election. You know what every political expert is predicting? That it will be a minority government after this election. And that's a good thing. And in minority government, the Greens will keep Dutton out and we will get Labour to act. Because with the Greens in the balance of power, banning native forests across the nation will be our key demand. We will make this happen. We will drive this change along with all of you. No ifs and no buts. Enough is enough. Because we know we can protect nature. We can end native forest logging. We can take climate action. And we can still create thousands of new, well-paid, skilled jobs in rewilding, in environmental restoration, and in protecting nature. I'm so proud. I'm so proud of all of you and so privileged to be here this morning. Because our fight for forests is a fight for climate. Our fight for native forests is a fight for our survival and the survival of this planet. Our fight for native forests is a fight for justice. Let's never forget that. So thank you for being climate warriors. Thank you for being forest defenders. Together, we will win for nature. So, when our forests are under attack, what do we do? When our forests are under attack, what do we do? Stand up, fight back. Thank you so much for fighting back. We will win this.
Let's keep the energy high. We've got time for one more. I'm going to leave you with this one. This is Exodus from the album Age of Aquarius. Feel free to dance. There's a lot of space here. Let's warm up. All right, let's raise the energy, raise the vibration. We're about to march.
Welcome back.
Here we go.
To Midnight Moods here on 89.7.
Who's ready to march? Come on, who's ready? Who's ready? How bad do we want change? Let's get it.
We got some new.
Yeah.
That's right.
Let the trees hear you. Come on now.
Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah. No apologies for being excellent. I set the precedent. You irrelevant. This is excellent. This is medicine. It's an exodus. I've been telling them since the beginning. Give it space, let it breathe. This the place, feel the breeze. Connect the roots to the trees. Trace it back, see the leaves. No apologies for being excellent. I set the precedent. You irrelevant. This is excellent. This is medicine. It's an exodus. I've been telling them since the beginning. Give it space, let it breathe. This the place, feel the breeze. Feel it. Yeah, hands up, let's go. Hands up, yeah, bounce. Capture the magic in the moments, the essence in the blessings in the lessons. I'm an artist, the creator. I see myself within nature. I see my skin in the earth. Been feeling like this since birth. I see my eyes in the night sky. I see my freedom as the birds fly. In the moon, I see my glow. In the river, I see my flow. Through the sun, I feel my light. Its energy assures me everything's gonna be alright. Come on, hands up, bounce, let's get it. Yeah, yeah, 1, 2, 3, jump, yeah, hey! I set the precedent, you irrelevant, this is excellent. It's the exodus, I've been telling them, jump. Since the beginning, yeah, I love this side over here, you got great energy, keep it going. This the place, feel the breeze, connect the roots to the trees, trace the back, see the leaves. Come on, right side, I need the energy like the left. Let it breathe, this the place, feel the breeze. Hands up, let's go, Steven. Yeah, let's go. Hey, hey, hey. My eye was shut, now it's open. Yeah, decalcified, I've been coping. Dive to the depths of my soul. Awaken to my role, have me feeling whole. Yeah, my soul old. Yeah, Steven, so old. So old, yeah, my soul don't fold in a year, Steve. Yeah, that's it. Come on, let's match the energy.
from another galaxy, a force like gravity, the source of reality. These words are magically propelled. When I speak, I cast spells. Hands up, let's go, bounce, let's go. No apologies for being excellent. I set the hands up, yeah. Jump, bounce, ayy. Left side, ayy. Right side, come on, right side. Yeah, we're bringing the rain, come on, bring the rain. This the place, feel the breeze. Connect the roots to the trees. Trace the back, see the leaves. Yeah, give it space, let it breathe. This the place, feel the breeze. Last one, last chorus, let's finish strong. Hey, one, two, three. No apologies for being excellent. I set the precedent, you irrelevant. This is excellent, this is medicine. It's an exodus, I've been telling them since the beginning, yeah. Shout out to all of you, you're all amazing. Well done for being here, in the rain, taking action, stepping into your power. March hard, let's go.
How do you feel when you donate to the 3CR Radiothon? I feel good.
Get a warm inner glow by donating to the 3CR Radiothon.
It's like giving money to the family.
It makes me feel good.
All right.
It feels like I'm playing a part in the economy, which usually I don't do.
How does it make me feel? Well, it gives me a great feeling of satisfaction.
Great. Might go to heaven.
Great.
Good.
3CR Radiothon through the month of June.
We need your support to keep radical voices and issues on the airwaves.
There is no other radio station like it.
To donate, go to 3cr.org.au.
Call the station on 03 9419 8377.
Or drop in at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy during business hours.
3CR.
Sound on for solidarity.
And now here's Bella Jessen on Green Music.
Music and festival culture in Australia is huge. In the 2022 to 2023 financial year alone, there were 535 music festivals across Australia, according to Creative Australia, and there are hundreds of thousands of aspiring artists and bands playing at thousands of local venues and pubs all across the country. However, in recent years, the climate crisis has begun to affect the ability for artists to perform and music fans to experience live music. Whether it's due to extreme weather causing for the delay or cancellation of concerts, gigs, and festivals, or the skyrocketing cost of living due to these weather events risking the affordability of experiencing live music, the music industry is at risk. From 2020 to 2024, more than 22 music festivals in Australia were delayed, cancelled, or relocated, as opposed to only 10 between 2013 to 2019. So, how do we tackle this issue? Well, music and artists themselves often have a very powerful and influential public appeal, which is exactly how Green Music Australia strategised to promote voting for the climate during this federal election this year. Using the influence of artists and our innate human connection to music, Green Music Oz created the No Music on a Dead Planet campaign that saw over 1,000 of Australia's leading musicians sign on board, pledging to vote for parties that would be best for fast-acting climate change action. And on the 15th of April, I attended the campaign signing at the Corner Hotel, which saw many musicians come together to sign a large poster at the front as a visual act of showing their pledge. I was luckily able to talk to a few of the musicians to find out more about why this campaign is so important to them.
Why is this campaign important to you?
I think it's just so important to show actual change and support and fight for what we love, which is music and a beautiful planet.
I want our leaders to advocate for the land and for the people who are living on it who are like most disadvantaged. That's like my main thing.
This campaign's important to me because I want this planet to be healthy. I want to be healthy. I want my, you know, the future generations to be healthy. I've watched the reefs in Western Australia get bleached. I've watched forests be taken down for houses, and yeah, I just really care about this stuff.
There's multiple reasons why this campaign is important to me. One of them being that I'm a parent. My son is 9, and we need to look after the planet so that there is a planet for future generations.
I think
as musicians, we have like a really powerful platform and a powerful voice to inspire people to think about change, think about leadership, think about the future. And also because we're creative artists, we get to reimagine processes and environments, and we get to imagine something real and something beautiful all together. And I'm excited to see that start to develop in the future, hopefully with leaders that care about the environment.
I feel like music is like one of my biggest inspirations is nature and the land, and like it's like one of the biggest issues that's facing our generation, and it's like one of the only things that I feel like we really have something where we could change and we could make a difference, and the generations before us haven't, and they put all the work on us, and so it's on us to try and make change now.
Also, working in the music industry, I've been affected by a lot of the weather things that have happened, where festivals are being cancelled, have lost income. Yeah, there's multiple reasons. It's very, very close to my heart. Also, being a punk musician, I'm very political.
Yeah.
So it's a very important campaign for musicians and industry professionals to get involved in.
People everywhere are starting to feel the brunt of the climate crisis, and those who are artists are using it as inspiration for their music and how to use their platform to urge for more action to be done. To learn more about the campaign that took place and artists' place in climate action, I was lucky enough to speak with R&B artist Nalani Patero. Not only is Nalani a part of Green Music Oz as an artist, but they also work for a variety of advocacy groups, including One of One and Black Alliance, sitting on the advisory board for the R&B and Hip Hop ARIA Awards as part of.
Hey everyone, my name is Bella and you're listening to the Climate Action Show on 3CR 855 AM. Currently I'm here with Nalani Patero, an R&B artist, who is today going to talk with us a bit about the No Music on a Dead Planet campaign from an artist perspective. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to speak with me, first off.
Thank you.
Could you please tell us a bit about who you are and what the No Music on a Dead Planet campaign is about?
No Music on a Dead Planet essentially is an initiative that has come about that is run by artists and for artists to bring about awareness in climate change of how that's affected the music industry. The artists are the first ones that are greatly affected when it comes to, you know, having festivals cancelled because of climate change. I was one of them. We had our One of One event for Brisbane rebooked to this last week. It was meant to be 3 weeks prior because of the cyclone coming down to Brisbane, which is quite rare. The first time a cyclone like that has ever really come down that far down Queensland in 50 years. But I also work with Green Music Australia. So last year I had the very honour of being able to join 17 other artists selected from all over Australia to participate in Sound Country, which is a retreat on to how already involved in advocacy and how we can engage environmental advocacy within what we do as artists, just due to the unique outreach as artists we can have into different communities.
Did you believe in a way that music might help, or music and artists in a way might help people, just everyday people, to understand the issue of climate change, or, you know, why it's an issue a little bit better, just as opposed to, you know, we're always sort of presented with stats and statistics, and I feel that sometimes people, you know, might not always be able to grasp it, or they don't understand it, and it doesn't connect as emotionally as music and maybe artists would. Sort of what makes No Music on a Dead Planet kind of unique in a way.
Yeah, you know, advocacy and music has always been such a powerful tool. We saw it so much happening in the 70s as well, so much where sadly, unfortunately, pinnacle members of the music community did have their lives taken from them because of just the influence of being able to spread their message. The one thing I love about being an artist is it's not just reaching particular communities, but it's the fact that you don't need to speak the same language. You don't need to understand each other to be able to feel a connection to another artist's piece of work. And because of that, evokes an emotion. It evokes a trigger response to want to learn, especially when you find an artist you can't quite explain, but you start to really love how their music speaks to you. That's when you start going down the wormhole, wanting to learn about them. And then you're like, oh, they're involved in climate action. Oh, this the lyrics to this song did not actually mean what I thought it meant. It actually is a lot deeper. And you know, that's the great thing about being an artist. It doesn't necessarily need to be obvious, but you can use stealth activism where there is another meaning under there that really speaks. And it always brings together like the people, the right people, your untouched tribes you don't even realize are out there that will resonate with you. And it can be any different community. It's not necessarily your immediate circle, different cultures and creeds. And I think that is just such a powerful, powerful tool.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Yes. Being able to connect with artists and even music is very powerful, you know, being able to garner an audience and, you know, spreading, you know, values and messages out there, especially with the climate crisis. What I was going to ask as well is why, as an artist, like specifically, is the climate crisis, you know, something you want to make more awareness about? Or why does it specifically affect you as an artist?
Well, culturally, I come from quite a diverse background. I'm half African-American, half Fijian, Chinese and Tongan. And so, you know, being part from, you know, Indigenous cultures, it's always been a spiritual thing in connecting to country, regardless of where you are, and being aware of how you utilize your resources. It's only with the rise of, I guess, capitalism and colonization, we've seen our cultures drastically be affected climate-wise. My grandfather is originally from a little region in Fiji called Lao, and they're the indigenous people of Fiji. And the way things run there is you don't overfish during certain times. You don't go, you know, you make sure everything has in synchrony. Like you pick from certain plants at certain times, you replant them, you make sure everything goes back. And it's about centering that you are part of the circle of life. It's not where you are, you know, the beneficiary of everything. Everything works in harmony. And just, you know, even just what's happening in the islands at the moment is being drastic. The storms, hurricanes, cyclones are getting a lot stronger. It's now leaving worse effects. You know, you look at what's happened in Haiti, they're still recovering from when they had their earthquake, and also when they had their hurricane, they still haven't been able to recover. You look at Niue. Niue is, they've actually had a thing created where they're able to protect certain reefs that can't be overfished, but they're also experiencing, you know, parts of the islands disappearing, and that's happening. We've got over 300 islands in Fiji, and there are some islands that are disappearing during certain seasons simply because of the rise of tides there that never used to exist and never used to happen. And so to pretty much keep the longevity of my culture, it has been such a wake-up call just to be aware. I've got a lot of family that are drastically affected by it. And I think a lot of people, when you're out of sight, out of mind, you don't think about it. But I find that those who are directly connected to Indigenous cultures, they don't have the privilege to ignore it. So it has always been kind of a birthright to want to stand up for climate action because of how it does affect the existence of my people.
Yeah. Yeah, that completely makes sense. And that's really tragic to hear about, you know, how it's affecting, you know, the culture you've grown up with and how it's, you know, putting it at risk. I was going to ask, what does making the climate crisis look like as a priority to you and for the No Music on a Dead Planet campaign then?
You know, this year, I think a lot of people really need to focus on voting climate and voting for parties and members who are actively presenting plans of how they can utilize climate changes legislative-wise in their campaigns. Yeah, well, even if you're not like a music consumer as well, but you just want to go to a music festival or something, or you got your local city council and state council doing festivals, and they have to get cancelled because there's bushfires, there's flooding, just bad storms at the moment. You know, that cancellation, like in the long term, really does affect you. It's like, I've booked my car to go drive up there, or you know, the travel, the cost for the ticket, and all of that's lost. So if you want to think of it in like a, I guess those type of things as well, it's like, man, I could not go to that festival because there were bushfires, and now I'm financially out of pocket because of it. You want to take it in that way as well. I think it's just about perspective. People just think it's like tying yourself to a tree, but it's not just as necessarily always that obvious. There are small things that do affect us, regardless if you're aware of it or not. And I think that's just the most important, is being aware.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think starting to look at climate change as sort of a social issue as well as an environmental issue is very important. Just so that perspective on how it affects kind of everything, you know, and even things you
One can't exist without the other, you know. That's I guess that's what it's all in the name. No music on a dead planet. You know, if our planet's not alive and around, then we can't breathe the air. We don't exist to even have social structures. So it's a lot deeper than just the surface value, and I hope people really see that.
Yeah, me too. Well, thank you so, so much for taking the time to talk to me. Unfortunately, I'll have to wrap up the interview here, but we at 3CR are very grateful to be able to chat to you today. And if our listeners want to learn more about the No Music on a Dead Planet campaign, or even your music as an artist, Nalani, where would you recommend sort of they go to?
I got two songs under my old name, Monroe, but you can go to my Instagram. But I'm recording an album in Aotearoa, so I leave actually next week to do another week. But there'll be music coming out next year, and I can't wait to share it with everyone.
Yeah, very exciting. I do love Bad for You.
Oh, amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful to be able to chat to you today.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
You can also find more information about the campaign at nomusic.au or at greenmusic.au on Instagram.
Thank you, dear listeners, for any climate action you've taken this week. And thank you for listening to the Climate Action Show. Please pass on the podcast. A big thanks to the Bob Brown Foundation, whose posters all around Leichhardt alerted me to the rally. Thank you to Andrew Wong from Wilderness Australia, Susie Russell, Senator Faruqi, Coco, the singer, and the voices of Sue Higginson, David Lindenmeyer, and the Forest Protector Women in Coffs Harbour. A big thank you to Bella Jessen, who produced the item about No Music on a Dead Planet, and her guest, Nolani Petera. My name is Vivian Langford. Goodbye and good luck.
This is coal. Don't be afraid. The Don't treasurer. Be scared. It's coal. It's coal. It's coal.
Tune in every Monday at 5 p.m. to hear the Climate Action Radio Show.
I'm Jeffrey.
I'm Alphonse.
I'm Erwin.
And we are from the Voice of West Papua.
Tuesday 6:30 until 7:30 p.m.
News and music from West Papua.
Eight women from across New South Wales gathered and scaled the building, the Forestry Corporation's head office in Coffs Harbour. They did it to draw attention to forest logging that is taking place right now in New South Wales that is destroying the habitat of some of our most vulnerable threatened species, destroying our greater glider habitat, koala habitat, calling on the New South Wales Minns Labor government who established the Great Koala National Park. But more than that, it's time. End native forest logging. People have had enough. People are taking serious action.